The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 people with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. My grandpa Rusty. Many of you have heard me talk about him before. My grandpa Rusty, very often a man of good humor, let's put it that way, right? Rusty would find himself in social situations where people would say, "Hi," and he'd say, "Hello," and then people would say, "How are you?" And Rusty would say, "Well, let me tell you about it." And then he would just start going on and on. And he would do it just to see how long the other person would stand there and listen to what he had to say. I'm not sure that they found the humor in it, but he definitely did. That interaction, that joke, if you will, was an interaction certainly designed to be humorous, mostly to himself, but also to prove a point. People engage in social niceties. People ask how you are doing. But more often than not, people don't really listen. They don't really mean it when they ask, "How are you?" Jesus, in all of his interactions that we read about in the Gospels, whether to perform a miracle, to teach through a parable, to illustrate, or to educate, all of those interactions were designed for a reason, it seems, very often. They were done to prove a point. Our gospel text this morning, this powerful story of Jesus' healing of the 10 lepers or 10 people with a skin disease. 10 people who have been ostracized by the community, not fully ostracized, but kept at bay because their skin disease was a sign of ritual uncleanness and impurity. These 10 people Jesus sends to the priest to receive their blessing or their cleansing or their healing, and yet on their way they are healed. And then one of those 10, recognizing that that healing had already taken place, turned around. We have another word for turning around. Does anybody know what it is? Repent. Repent means to turn around, to change directions. This one who was healed, one of the 10 who turns around, offering thanks and praise, glorifying God's name, this one was not a Jew, was not A believer was not an insider. No, this one was a foreigner. An outsider. A double outsider, right? A Samaritan with a skin disease. It has been said that Martin Luther, when asked to define true worship, to describe the action that very often serves for many of us as the primary expression of our faith, that true worship, he was asked, what does that look like? What is true worship? And Martin Luther said, the 10th leper turning back. To thank Jesus, to glorify God's work in His healing. We are very good at making things more complicated than they are. Can I get an amen to that? Human nature seems to drive us to be suspicious of anything simple. This makes us dubious of straightforward statements and desirous of some deeper meaning to any story, song, or experience that we encounter. Now, remember, I am an English major, right? I am steeped in this kind of work, finding meaning, deeper meaning in something that's relatively simple and straightforward. I love that stuff. But now I know, maybe not all of you, certainly many folks, are not inclined to stand around staring at the walls of a museum, pontificating on the power of art to transform, or sit around the cafes and talk about philosophizing on the true meaning of a poem. But how many of us look at our lives and enumerate the hours of work we have put in to be successful? How many of us plumb the stories of our lives to find the answers to our lot in life? How many of us have a sob story to share or an epic tale of triumph that led us to this glorious point in our lives? How many of us thank our lucky stars every time something good happens to us? If Martin Luther is right, that today's story gives us an example of what true worship looks like, it shows us this double outsider, a leper from Samaria who, upon receiving healing and therefore restoration to community, becomes whole and, recognizing what has happened to them, turns around and gives thanks and glory to the one who made it happen, God. How often do we recognize God's action in our lives? How often do we give of our thanks and glorify God's work in this world? As you no doubt can tell, and should have guessed by now, my Grandpa Rusty looms pretty large in my life. As the second generation of pastors to follow in his footsteps, you can imagine that he looms pretty large in the lives of others in my family, too. And not even just my family, but many other pastors and former Luther Leaguers who remember him fondly. You're always guaranteed a meeting with me if you knew Rusty. But he looms large. For many years, as I said, he would start that interaction, "How are you doing, Rusty?" with, "Well, let me tell you, the other day," right? But in the last several few years of his life, people would say, "Rusty, how you doing?" And he'd look at them and he'd say, "Grateful. I'm grateful. I hope every day that I can follow his lead." May we all be as grateful as Rusty. May we all worship like that tenth leper, filled with witness, truth. And let us be, well, grateful. Amen.